You are listening to the best, the only place to be on Tuesday night. That's right, you're listening to The Right Stuff, and you're at the right place at the right time. From England to Canada, from Detroit to the Coconuts, we are showcasing Christian authors worldwide, giving you tips, tools, techniques, and resources for you, the writer, to hone and perfect your craft. Tune in every Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, right here on WPJC 104.5. And your host, Parker J. Cole.
Hi, and welcome to another edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the queen of Tuesday nights, Parker J. I am so excited you are here with me tonight. We're going to have a wonderful time with our guest co-host and contributor today, Cecilia Summers, and we're talking about her book, We're Crossing Over One by One. In particular, I want to dedicate this show to Christine Sterling. She was the one who connected Cecilia and I, and it has been a wonderful and hope to grow into a lasting friendship that I've enjoyed with Cecilia. She's a staunch supporter of the show, and she always makes me feel good as if we are giving you great information, not just great books, but great information for authors out there whom God has given the gift to write, to pick up the pen and write stuff. Before we get into our topic, I want to go over a few announcements. I want to thank all of you for your support of my newest release, The House the Hathaway. I got to tell you, it's my first sci-fi fantasy romance. It's for the general market. I'm really happy about the initial reviews I've received. I've gotten some reviews, and I'm very happy about that. So if you want to get a taste of my work for the general market, pick up your copy of The House of Hathaway, which is a fairy tale retelling of a classic fairy tale, and it's set in the future. So it's a sci-fi fantasy space opera thing going on there. I was very excited working on this project. I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. And as the Lord gives me grace, there will be a lot of books to this particular series because I love fairy tales and I love retelling them the way I have told them. I want to also remind you that my good friend Elizabeth Chalker is looking for help. For those of you who follow me on Facebook, the link to donate to her GoFundMe, because she needs a safe home from mold and toxins. So if you want to go to my Facebook page and click on the GoFundMe link, please do that and have an opportunity, if you can, to give. Thank you for those who have already given. If you can give $5, $10, $20, whatever, just give from your heart and know that every single dollar will go toward her health and will go toward her finding a safe home from mold. For those of you who want to call in and weigh in on our topic, you know you can by calling in at 646-668-8485 and then press that 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag write stuff with your questions and comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Write Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
If you are an author looking to gain visibility for your books, then AuthorShout.com is the place to go. We have a wide variety of affordable products and services to include a member zone that will help you get the word out about your books. Our team here at AuthorShout.com specializes in creating stunning digital products to include book banners, teaser videos, book trailers, book covers, and a whole lot more. So what are you waiting for? Stop by AuthorShout.com today and let our team connect you with a world of new readers.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers, only to be told your themes are a bit too religious? We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction. Speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests, right here on The Right Stuff. Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, so very glad you are here with me tonight. We are going to be talking to my good friend Cecilia Summers about her book, We're Crossing Over One by One. And for those of you, you may want to start singing a Negro spiritual. You can go ahead and do that, because the first thing I want to do, as soon as I heard that title, I wanted to sing Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. I wanted to sing every Negro spiritual I knew, because when you hear the story of her family, the first thing you're going to do is appreciate what our ancestors have done, those for African American, those who are not African American, and what it means to know your family history. I wanted to start this conversation off with a quote from my cousin. My cousin, her name is Sheila. She researched our family history. And I said, Sheila, I need you to give me a quote that I can read for tonight. And Sheila said, what do you want me to say? I said, well, why is it important for us to know our family history? And so Sheila told me this. She said, family is your first look at the world. It is important to know something about your family history because it gives you a sense of belonging, identity, beliefs, culture, both past and future. And that's from my cousin Sheila. Sheila, thank you so much for giving us that food for thought and for us to chew on as we begin our discussion. So, Cecilia, without further ado, how are you?
I am truly thankful. I praise God from whom all my blessings flow, and I thank God for you, Miss Parker. And I also want to thank God for Christine Sterling Borner, because she did introduce me to you when I attended a conference of the Frederick Area Fellowship of Christian Writers, and I'm just elated to be here tonight.
I'm so glad that you're here with me too, Cecilia. We've been talking for a while, so now it's so nice to just have this opportunity to talk about your book, because one thing about this book, for those of you thinking that when people read it, they are just blown away by the reveals in this book and the harrowing decisions that people had to make, the time frame. There's so much going on. When we talk about slavery, mm-hmm. we have to talk about it, because for one thing, it's the DNA of the United States. It is what it is, as I like to say when it comes to that. We can't change it. There's nothing we can do to revamp it, but it is the DNA of the United States. And that's why we have so much problems with racial tensions in the U.S., because it's part of our DNA. But thankfully, God can heal all our sins, because sin is part of our DNA, too. He can heal us from all of our sins. And so that's what we're going to have, just a fun time talking about this. For those of you who are listening in, you want to weigh in on our conversation at any time, simply press the 1. We'll be glad to take your question and or your comment. So, Cecilia, I can always read your bio, but doesn't it really give me anything to know about you? So go ahead and tell us who you are in your own words.
I am an individual that never thought that she would be writing a novel. As I was growing up, I wanted to eventually get married, have children, become a registered nurse, which I did, all three, but writing a novel was not on my bucket list. But that was until 1992. Now, mind you, I've had my children, even had grandchildren. And then I had a dream. Have you ever dreamt a dream that was so vivid that was nearly impossible to differentiate whether it was reality or not? Because that's what happened to me in the wee mornings of October 1992. And I remember the dream just stuck with me all day long. I just could not get it out of my mind. And when I dreamt it again, it was like, God, what are you trying to tell me? Because we have to understand that God does not change. He is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. And, you know, God spoke to his children, to his people in dreams. You search the Bible, of course, one of the most famous, there's three individuals I like to bring up. The most famous one is Joseph, when he dreamt sheaves of grain would be bowing before him. And then later on, when he was in prison, he interpreted dreams. And of course, when the Pharaoh dreamt a dream, it was Joseph that interpreted that dream for Pharaoh. And then, of course, Daniel, he interpreted dreams. He was the one that spoke of the bronze, the statue with the clay feet and the bronze and the steel and the gold. He interpreted dreams. And, of course, in the New Testament, how can we not forget about Joseph? He was going to put away his pregnant wife, but it was in a dream that God told him that she was carrying a holy child. She was not, you know, committing adultery on him. And anyway, and God still talks to us in dreams. And that night in 1992, in October, I had a dream, and I was back as a child, 10 to 12 years old, visiting my grandparents in Brunswick, Maryland. And also visiting them was her sister, Emma Brooks Hosby, and her brother, Morris Brooks. And, you know, I've always been an inquisitive child. See, I'm using the nice word, inquisitive. I was just told I was nosy, you know.
Right.
As a child, yes, I was nosy. Because, you know, back in the 60s, the children could not sit around and listen to the adults. That was a no-no. But, you know, mm-hmm. I heard them getting a little bit argumentative. This is in my dream now. I heard them starting to argue. I said, well, what are they arguing about? And I was getting upset because I love my grandmama. I adored my grandmother, and they were starting to argue with her. And then I remember the name Child, C-H-I-L-E, Brooks. And I could tell by their voices that an argument was about to ensue. Then one of them said, well, you know she was crazy. And another one said, oh, no, she wasn't. They were just going back and forth. And then they said, well, you know the town folks at Front Royal called her the old crazy mountain lady. And it was like that time is when I woke up. And after the second time I dreamt that dream, I said, God, what is it? What are you trying to tell me? And I heard one word, right, W-R-I-T-E. And, of course, you know, me and God, we went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, because I'm not a writer. I mean, I haven't studied journalism. I haven't studied professional writing. I've wrote term papers. And other, you know, maybe 5-10 page projects, but I'm not a writer. And I'm at 3 o'clock in the morning talking to God. I'm not a writer. You made a mistake. You meant to send that dream to somebody else, God. I'm not a writer. And then God said, but I am. Yeah.
And so that's how it got started with all of that.
That
it got started with a dream.
Yes. And all of a sudden I had this obsession to study my family history. And by that time, my grandmother was deceased. My grandfather had dementia. Her brother was deceased. So the only one available that I could ask questions to was my grandmother's sister, Aunt Emma Brooks Hosby. So I traveled to Martinsburg, West Virginia, and I sat down with her. And she revealed so much to me about the family, it was just mind-boggling. And the thing that she told me was that our ancestor was never a slave. It's like, No, she said, no, he was never a slave. And then my next question was, so why didn't he leave Virginia? Because the law was that if he was a freed slave in any state that where slavery was legal, you had 1 year, 1 year to leave that state, or else you could be thrust back into slavery. So my question was, why didn't he leave? And even today he has descendants, my grandmother and her brothers and sisters, that still lives in Virginia, Front Royal, Virginia, in that area. And that's where my research began. And it was amazing. Go ahead.
And well, let me stop you there because I want to interject right here. When you went to the ones who are left, I want to talk about that. Because in my family, there's so much family history that I don't know because the older ones won't talk about it. And they won't talk about it for many different reasons. It could be that at the time something that happened was shameful. It could have been that they don't want to put a bad light on things that happened back then. But the thing that we talked about earlier is that history is history. Whether it's good or bad is irrelevant. It happened, and people for future generations need to know about that. So let's talk about this, because you may be talking to someone out there, and they may have a younger member of their family asking questions. But what had happened back then may be shameful for them. It may be difficult to talk about. How would you encourage the one who knows the history to share that history, especially if the younger generation is curious about it?
Well, with that comes this. I was so devastated as I was doing the research for my book to see how slaves were treated. I cried. I went into deep depression. I got angry. I got despondent. And I just could not figure out, God, why are you putting me through this? But I'm glad I went through that, because now I have a better appreciation of who I am. And this is what I instill in my grandchildren. Be proud of where you came from. Be proud of who you are. Be proud of your DNA. And I know it's a painful subject. I know it is. But we have got to be able to convey to our young people, no matter what you're going through in life, yes, you're going to have painful periods in life, but look what your ancestors overcame. They rose above what was pressing them down, and give them a sense of pride, a sense that they can make it. And I know my aunt, she was so open towards me. She allowed me to stay with her the weekend, and I just plummeted her with question after question after question. And it was amazing what I learned from her. My only regret was that I did not record her voice, because she is now deceased, and that was my biggest regret. But now, you know, with technology, we can record our loved ones' voices and for future generations.
I like the fact that you make the point of, even if it was shameful, you can still be proud of it, because it's in our DNA. I remember when I discovered that one of my ancestors had been lynched in a very prominent case, I think in the 1940s. And we found out because a young lady was doing a research paper on historical acts of lynching in America, and she pulled this up. And so my cousin Sheila, who I mentioned earlier, was doing the research to the family, and his name came up. And so I hurried up and read the paper because, I mean, obviously I won't see him because he's dead. But the fact that I can't succeed because of what my ancestors went through, it's a painful past, but it makes me want to succeed even more, because on the backs of my ancestors, I can climb this mountain. And so that's one of the reasons why I think it's so important for the older ones to share the history with the younger ones. And conversely, the younger ones should be asking the questions. Nowadays, people are trying to suppress history, just in general. We're not talking about family history, just history in general, trying to suppress it. They're saying, well, it's not really important to look back. But in your opinion, Cecilia, why is it important to know history, not just your own family history, which is vital, especially to our topic today, but why is it important to know history just in general?
I think it's important to know history because it gives us a foundation to build on. It also gives us an appreciation of each other. My book, We're Crossing Over One by One, is infused with historical events and individuals who actually lived during that era. And this is something that I did not know until I was doing my research, is that it really breaks my heart when I see the amount of racial tension and racial hatred in this country today. Because there were individuals, the Quakers and the Puritans, They were of the white race, but they took a stand against slavery. And some of them really suffered. Some of them became safe houses in the movement. And then when they were caught, they went to prison. But they got out and did the exact same thing. They were just so adamant about human bondage and how wrong it was. And this is why, you know, I just wish that we could get together, like during the civil rights movement. If you look at some of the pictures of the civil rights movement, there was white and black. If you look at the August 28, 1963, March on Washington with Dr. King, if you look in the audience, there was people of all colors, white and black. We had a cohesiveness during that time, and it really just breaks my heart because I'm in my 60s now, and I see that just washing away, just going away. And I want my grandchildren to know that we need to come back together as God's people, as a nation, as a country. Because, you know, Lincoln says a house divided cannot stand. Mm-hmm. And this country divided is not going to stand. And this is why I think history is so very, very important. And you know,
as it those of you, I'm gonna put you on. I'm gonna put you put you on hold for a minute so we can take a quick break, Cecilia, and continue our discussion. But for those of you who are listening in, if you want to weigh in on our topic, you know you can by calling in at 646-668-848. That one to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole #WriteStuff with your questions and comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for new readers to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com. or order a print issue on magcloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The SpecFaith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J. and her guests, right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. We are having a phenomenal time talking to my guest co-host and contributor today, Cecilia Summers. She is the author of the historical fiction book, We're Crossing Over One by One. But don't suppose it's just historical fiction. This book is based off actual events. It's available for you to buy on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. What's really interesting about this story is the details. What they always say, the devil's in the details. And so that's what's so interesting about this story. And Cecilia, once again, thank you for being with us as we continue our discussion. And I wanted to preface the next part of our discussion with understanding that this book reaches across those ethnic lines, because no matter what ethnicity you are, you can gain encouragement from this book. Now, it happens during a dark period of our country's history, which is during the during slavery and during the Civil War, or right before the Civil War started. So there's a lot of stuff going on here, but so many people from who you talk to, no matter what ethnicity they've been, they've really enjoyed it. And even Christine Sterling, she said her husband really, really enjoyed We're Crossing Over One by One. And so tell us about how that book has related to those readers who have been of a different ethnicity.
Well, the main thing is that it is a book of inspiration. It is a book about a man of faith who had so much against him, but yet his faith in God endured. His faith in God is what kept him from not losing his mind. That because what he did was, my ancestor, he was breaking the law. But yet this is a book that no matter what race you are, it's an inspirational book to let you see that if you have faith in God, nothing shall be called impossible. And that's what I signed my books with, Luke 1:37 and Matthew 19:26. For with God, nothing shall be called impossible. And that is what I want to instill in individuals in my book, that this man had everything against him that you can imagine, but his faith in God was so strong that he triumphed over the adversities. So that's why this book is, anyone can read this book and they can relate this book, relate to the story in this book, because I'm sure throughout life we all have situations and we wonder, how are we going to get through this? I don't know how we're going to get through. But faith in God, that's what is so important, because in 2 Corinthians it says we walk by faith, not by sight.
Amen.
So,
amen.
But this book, oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. So
I was inspired to write this book also because I just want to honor those who took the secret to their grave. Because there were so many individuals of all races that participated in the Underground Railroad. And the reason why I know this is because I hear of homes being demolished, these old stone homes, and they're finding cubby holes. They're finding crawl spaces. But because of the relentless fear of retribution, even after the Emancipation Proclamation, many who participated in the first civil rights movement in the United States took the secret to their grave. And my book is about a former slave who was determined not to follow suit. She wanted everyone to know what her great-grandfather did back in the 1850s. And you got to understand that what he did, if he had been caught, he would have been punished, his wife would have been punished, his children would have been punished, his grandchildren would have been punished. He had so much that to lose if he ever got caught. And someone asked me, did he get caught? Yes and no. But I'm not going to tell you the gist of this story, because it was really amazing how God intervened on his behalf. And it was during an interview. But how this story came about was in 1913, the old crazy mountain lady by the name of Child Brooks was telling people this story. And no one believed her, because you got to understand, she was a little senile. She spoke to her dead husband that came by every so often to visit, and plus she had a pet skunk, and she was like what they would call a hermit. So when she told this amazing story of her great-grandfather, no one believed it. Years later, a reporter from the Baltimore Afro, he decided to investigate this story to see if there was any truth to it, and basically that's what the book is about. It's about this story that was told by this lady, Child Brooks, to this reporter back in 1913. And what he uncovered was that in 1855 as a 12-year-old child. She was instrumental into changing the course of U.S. history. And that was something that she was not aware of at the time until this reporter told her. And even today, her courageous deed continue to impact our lives and will do so for generations. Because of this little girl's act of bravery, the course of American history was changed forever. And people ask me, did it really happen? Well, you know what? I wasn't there, but I know that there's so many things in history that we are not aware of. But I would like to think that if there was someone in my family that had that opportunity to change the course of history, or even just to have a courageous deed, that they would have done so, because they understood the importance of faith, the importance of God, and the importance of what they was doing to help free the other slaves that was fleeing from the South. To say that when I started writing this book in 1992, I wrote it for 2 years, and I put it on the shelf for about 20 years because I had a baby, and I knew I would not have time to really devote to my writing and take care of her. But after God told me, you know, it was time to rewrite it, and get it published. Now, you got to understand something. When I went to the Warren Heritage Society in Front Royal just to get some details, the individual there took me over to a map, and what he told me, I almost went to the floor, because unbeknownst to me, there were safe houses along the banks of the Shenandoah River. Now, I had written about my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather having a safe house on the banks of the Shenandoah River. How did I know that 20 years before I actually gained knowledge of it? See, that's a mystery. I didn't know. And then I even visited the Shenandoah National Park and spoke with a ranger, and they said, yes, there were rumored of safe houses on the banks of the river. But unfortunately, when the government took over the Shenandoah region to make it into a national park, the houses, 40% of the homes are torn down because they wanted to make it a national park, and, you know, the inhabitants had to relocate. But that really surprised me. Why would I write about something I had absolutely no knowledge about 2 decades earlier? So, you know, I just want to say that if God puts something on your heart, just do it, and then, you know, and he will give you the reason behind it. I hope it doesn't take 20 years, but for me it took over 20 years to realize, God, why are you having me write about this? Because he is a God of order. He's a God that he loves us, and he wants the best for us. And I just thank God for allowing me to write this amazing story.
Let's talk about some of the mechanics here, because you had to go a lot of different places to gather this information. And for some people, it may be daunting. For myself, when my cousin was researching our family history, she actually went to the library, I think, and she went to, like, the records, the archives, to get information, mm-hmm. and she went hours and hours and hours she
yes.
spent looking
yes.
through documentation.
Yes.
So tell us about that, because you went many different places to make sure this story that you had heard of, that this dream that God had given you, was told accurately. So tell us about that process, because someone may be listening to the sound of our voices and they want to share their family history, but they don't know where to start. So let's go ahead and talk about that for a minute.
Back in 1992, there was no such thing as Google, internet. Well, it wasn't really available for home use. Let's put it like that. So therefore, mm-hmm. I thank God for my husband. He would take his vacation days, and I would take my vacation days, and we traveled thousands of miles. I'm talking about thousands of miles. We ended up in Winchester, Virginia, and then Williamsburg, Virginia, and then we ended up in Richmond, Virginia. And mind you, we would spend the night and then get up the next morning, go over to the Historical Society, and research. Now, he was wonderful because he would just walk around the various cities while I sat in there and researched. But if any of you, under the sound of my voice, ever gets a chance to go to a historical society, please go. Because even the ones, we went to Baltimore, we went to Annapolis, and we ended up in Auburn, New York. That's quite a distance. And then once I got home, I told my husband, we need to go to Canada. Now, mind you, we live in Maryland, so you're looking at over a 1,000-mile trip.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up in Ontario, Canada. Now, I asked my husband the other day, how did we end up in Mary Smith's home? Mary Smith was the historian for African Canadians in the region. She was the top historian. And we ended up in her living room. And we still don't understand how we got her name and address. We don't. But you know what? When God is in a project, when God is in it, he will do things that you just blows your mind. That's what I love about the Lord, because he'll have you just, how did that happen? Divine intervention. So she was just amazing. She gave me so much information. And then we ended up at St. Catherine's Parish. So we did a lot of traveling. And you know what? If you get a chance, it's okay now that you can sit in your pajamas in the living room and Google, 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 click, click, click. But it's nothing like actually being in these buildings. And what really got me was I was looking at the ledger that had the names of the slaves on the ledger. And I just stood there mesmerized because I said, my gosh, the man that owned these people also looked at this same page. Not that his fingerprints could be on this paper. And it was like I had tears coming down because I didn't know which one of them belonged to me because they didn't put their last name, just their first name. But if you love to research, do so. This is why I read about Alex Haley. It took over 10 years of research for him to write Roots. And I can truly understand that because I'm reading it as of now and the details that he has written about in this book is in his book is just absolutely daunting. So, and I just want to say that this book was not an easy write for me. And I've told people, if you have trouble with depression, if you have trouble with anger, I will not be offended if you do not read my book because it will take you there. It will take you there.
Well, you're talking about such a dark period of our history, like I said earlier, and some of the atrocities that happened to people. There's so many things happen, so it will make you depressed. I remember I was talking to a young lady in one of my projects I'm working with, and she was researching slavery for herself. She's a Caucasian lady, and she was like, this is just sad. It's depressing. I said, I understand. And she said, I just feel so sad. I said, you know what? I'm glad you feel sad, but thank God it's not that way still, and you wouldn't even know to feel sad. But some people didn't know that this was wrong. Some people weren't even aware that treating people like this was wrong. Some people didn't even know. It was just the way it was, and they continued the tradition. But the Lord, thankfully, always has someone out there fighting to end atrocities against each other. And so that's why I want you to take that with you. That's one thing about this story. We're crossing over one by one. This story is going to grip you. It's going to shake you. But like Cecilia said, it's going to inspire you. If you're looking for inspiration in the midst of darkness, We're Crossing Over One by One is for you. It's available at Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. And it's a historical fictional book, but it's based on actual events. And Cecilia did extensive research to make sure she got the details as accurate as possible, just like the reporter who wanted to make sure that the story he was hearing from this senile mountain woman was true. When we come back, we'll talk more about We're Crossing Over One by One, but make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy of this book today. If you want to weigh in on our conversation, you know you can. Call in at 646-668-8485 and press that 1 to be live on air. If you're hanging on the line and want to make a comment or ask a question, just simply press 1. We'll take your questions and comments after the break. Or you can hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag right stuff. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, The Untold Podcast produces audio fiction from a Christian worldview. Find us over at untoldpodcast.com, where we partner with authors to tell science fiction, fantasy, supernatural, and horror stories. Find links at untoldpodcast.com to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and a variety of other platforms. Each month we produce high-quality audio fiction that's free to download and free to listen. Our submissions are open, and we're always looking to add another great story to over 24 hours of narrative entertainment. Find all of our audio fiction over at www.untoldpodcast.com.
The Speculative Fiction Cantina is your weekly hypodermic injection of science fiction, fantasy, horror, alternate history, and things weird and wonderful in the world of books and writers. You'll hear from writers who bend the rules and drive the narrative. We ask authors the hard questions. We do the show in our pajamas. Join S. Evan Townsend on this journey over the rainbow and through the looking glass. The Speculative Fiction Cantina on Rightstream Radio every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Authors, are you looking for a new way to get your book in the hands of new audience of targeted buyers? Then a virtual book tour is for you. Right now, virtual book tours is an excellent opportunity for you to introduce your book and who you are as an author. Launching your book is very important. A virtual book tour will connect you with readers. We at WNL, we specialize in book tours, book blasts, radio tours, cover reveals, and Facebook chat. Promoting and marketing your book is what we do. Online publicity, the exposure and the publicity is what you need. Let us help you reach new readers and a new audience. We take care of everything so you don't have to. We set up the tour for you. We connect you with bloggers to advertise your book by way of interviews, guest posts, and reviews. If you are an author of a newly published book, have an upcoming release, or just want to give a previously published book new life, a virtual book tour is your answer. Check our tours out at www.wnlbooktours.com. Visit me on Facebook. I am the owner, Paulette Harper.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. We are talking to my guest co-host and contributor today, Cecilia Summers. She is the author of the historical fiction book, We're Crossing Over One by One. But this isn't just fiction. This story is based on true events. So make sure you go ahead and get your copy of this book today. Why would a man who is free stay in the state where if he didn't leave after 1 year, he could be sold back into slavery? Why would he do that? Why would a mountain woman who's senile with a pet skunk who talks to her dead husband be an integral of American history? You want to find out about this? Pick up your copy of We're Crossing Over One by One today on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. And Cecilia, once again, thank you so much for being with me on the show. I got to tell you, as I was listening to you talk about this, I have to tell a story my father told me, and I have no idea how true this is. I have no idea how true this is. My father could talk blarn. You know, he could talk about but what had happened. The story goes that my father's great-grandfather, whoever it was a slave, and he found his wife with somebody. I don't know. He found his wife with somebody, so quote-unquote, he took her and took and cut off her head. Something like that. So then this happened again with the great grandfather, and he something happened. Found his wife and cut off her hand. I have no idea how true this story is. And so then the grandfather she was riding with a man in a buggy or something. He was in the field. He was a sharecropper or something like that. And he was in the field, and he saw her riding in a buggy with this man. He came, and his grandmother was like, he took a knife and he put a line around his neck from ear to ear. And then he looked at me and said, don't you know I'll cut off your head? And so that was a story that came down through history. I have no idea how true this story is. My father's relating this story to some people at my church, and then something happened at church, and he asked some of the deacons, he said, can you take my wife home? And they had just heard this story. It's like, no, we can't do that. We don't want to get our heads cut off. So I don't know how true it is, but the thing about family history is that it brings, like my cousin said, brings that belonging and identity with them. So that's the nice part about knowing your family history is that. So tell us about the young girl. What is she like in this book? How are we going to relate to her in this book?
Oh, my goodness. Child Brooke is patterned after me. Very inquisitive, hard-headed. When her great-grandfather said, you cannot do ABC, of course she wants to do ABC. And what happened was, after a while, after Joshua Brooks, that's the name of her great-grandfather, he was freed, and he moved off the plantation in Virginia into the mountains. And it got to the point where some of the slaves on their free days would go over to the mountains, and they would go swimming. They would have cookouts. They had some wonderful times over there. Then all of a sudden, Joshua Brooks said, no, y'all can't come back anymore. And it's like, why not? He says, y'all just can't come back anymore. So it was various rumors went around the plantation, but this little girl had to find out. What was my great-grandfather hiding? What was the problem that we couldn't go back there anymore? And she eventually found out his secret. And it's a secret that he told her. Don't tell anyone until me and your great-grandmama is in our graves. So she held on to this secret for almost 60 years. Got to the point where she was getting up there. She was, and she wanted to tell this story. So she started to relay this story to her nephews, nieces and nephews, just like a griot, you know, like in Africa, they relay the stories to the next generation. And that's where my story began. When you read the first paragraph of my book, is Emma, that's my great-grandmother, she is basically angry because she's telling that crazy story again because no one believes her. So that's why the reporter decided to come and investigate. And what he found out was that he also thought her story was so preposterous. It was just no way anyone would believe this. He even thought his job at the Baltimore Afro would be in jeopardy because if he came back with this story, his boss was going to surely fire him. But then this old senile lady presents him with undisputed proof. And it was then that he realized he had just been told the story of the century. Yeah, this is a fictitious novel. But is it infused with actual historical events and individuals, and it has a shocking conclusion. And I would like to say this, because this happened on Facebook. People read my book, and then they went on Facebook, wanted to know what the conclusion was, what was the mystery. And it's like, no, don't do that. I was telling people who bought my book, please don't do that. Do not go on Facebook and divulge the secret. That's like you telling me, Cecilia, I'm ready to go see a movie this weekend. And I said, oh, girl, I'm going to tell you what happened. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
So, yeah. So,
and I'm spoiler sensitive. Me, personally, I am spoiler sensitive. I am so sensitive that I was reading a series of books, and I found out that the one character I thought was dead wasn't dead because someone opened their mouth, never finished reading the series because I wanted him to be dead until I found out that he wasn't dead anymore because I am spoiler sensitive. Now, if it's a movie or a book I have no intention of reading, I don't mind. But if it's something I know I want to read, do not tell me. And I know
exactly.
Some reviewers, when they review books, they will put that, you know, conclusion on there. You're like, really? Come on, really? You know, the whole point is to get people to read the book. I mean, we don't want them to know the aha moment. Yeah, I totally understand you there, Cecilia. So let me ask you this, because we got about 5 or 6 minutes left before the end of our show here.
That went fast.
Oh, it always goes so fast. We always have such a great time talking. And my question to you is this. When you put all this information together and you collate into a book, you got it published, what did that feel like for you?
Oh, my gosh, I cried. I cried because this was I started writing it in 1992, and I finally got it published just last year, 2018. Finally got it published. But it was so wonderful actually seeing it in print. People are reading it. I'm getting rave reviews. And people have already asked me, is there going to be a sequel? Is there going to be a sequel? I said, you know, I don't know. I don't know at this point. But you know what? It may sound strange, but when I started writing this book, it seemed like it just poured out of me, just kept going. You know, I couldn't even sleep because the ideas just kept pouring out of me. And Oprah Winfrey made a comment. She said that when she gives a lecture, she can feel the spirits of her ancestors accompanying her. And I say, yes, that's what it – and I feel that was like the spirits of my ancestors telling me this story. What happened? Because I can show you notebooks that I'm writing so fast that it's almost illegible. And I'm telling people that if you have a story to tell, even a poem, or maybe you have a song that God has given you, share it, because he does not want you to just keep it to yourself. He wants you to share it with the world.
So. You know, I have to go to Philippians 1. And Philippians 1, 7, I'm sorry, Philippians 1, 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that's Philippians 1, verse 6, not verse 7. And I think that's important because for those of you who are listening to us, God, if he's giving you that gift to write, if he's giving you that story to tell, if he's giving you that song to sing, if he's giving you that project to complete, he will give you what you need to perfect it and to continue it. So We're Crossing Over One by One began as a dream, and it ended last year. It doesn't matter how long it takes. It doesn't matter if it's 20 years. It doesn't matter if it's 30 years, as long as you finish the work that he gave you. Because once you finish that work that he gave you, once you write that book, once you write that poem, once you sing that song, who will be blessed by your obedience to the one who gave it to you? Who is going to be blessed? I love the quote that Michelle Simpson said on my show one time. She said, you never know what is on the other side of obedience. You never know what's on the other side. We all know what's wrong when we disobey. We all know we fall down trenches, fall into the well, and then we need the Lord to do something miraculous and pull us out the miry clay. But what if we just do what he told us to do? What reward do we get for being obedient? And for you, Cecilia, what reward did you get for being obedient by writing this story?
My reward is to inspire others. If you read the Bible, and I love the Bible, I mean, look at how old Moses was. Moses was 80 years old, and Isaiah and some of the other prophets, they were senior citizens. And no matter what your age, don't let age be a factor. Don't say, I'm too young. Don't say, oh, I can't do that, I'm too old. Please, because with God, nothing shall be called impossible. And I just want to inspire anyone out there. Maybe you have poems that you have written and you have them in the closet. Maybe you have songs that you can start singing. Maybe you have something that you can give to society that God has inspired you. Don't make excuses. because God uses everyone from the babe even to the senior citizen. And my great-grandmother, who I named the main character after, Mary Pauline Brooks, she lived to be 105. And she was an inspiration, just getting up in the morning and going to church. She inspired so many people. So don't think that just because you can't do this and you can't do that, you can be an inspiration to your fellow man. Because you know what? We need to see Jesus in each and every one of us, because there's a song that says, if the world can't see Jesus in me, then I don't want to be. Because Jesus said, let this little light shine so that men will see your good deeds and glorify my Father, which is in heaven. And I give God all the glory for this book. I give God 1,000 times 1,000% for this book. So my message is to anyone and everyone, just do it. No, I do not work for Nike. No, I'm not a spokesperson for Nike. No, I'm sorry.
But no, there's a lot of truth to those words. There's a lot of truth to those words. Just do it. But I understand why some people are afraid to do it. That's why we have this show every week, so you can pick up the pen and write stuff. Cecilia, thank you so much for being with us on the show today. Thank you for being a faithful supporter and follower of the show. And I cannot wait to have you back on this show and have you back real soon.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me, Parker. Thank you so much.
And for those of you, we were talking today to Cecilia Summers. She is the author of the book, We're Crossing Over One by One. It's a historical fiction novel, but it's based off actual events. Why would a man who is free stay in a state that if he didn't leave within a year, they would make him a slave again? What does a crazy old woman who lives in a mountain with a pet skunk who talks to her dead husband, what incredible story does she tell? Why would a reporter say that what her act of bravery did, course of American history? Find out by picking up your copy of We're Crossing Over One by One by Cecilia Summers. One thing I got to definitely tell you, I've enjoyed my talk with Cecilia, but I love the passion and the excitement she has for her family history. What is it in your family history that makes you who you are? Are you a writer? Does someone else in your family write too? How would you know if you don't discover it? Go ahead and dig into the past. Find out about the DNA that makes up who you are. Look at your ancestors' spiritual journey. How does that journey affect you today? Go ahead and pick up the pen and write stuff. And maybe you'll be the one on the show talking about how your ancestors affected the world around them. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the queen of Tuesday nights, Parker J, and you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of The Right Stuff. Follow Parker online at parkerjcole.com. To hear this show and other shows, visit the show archive at therightstuffradio.wordpress.com. We'll be back same time next week, 7 p.m. Eastern Time.